Well, thank you for joining me. I know my phone lines right now are filled. So if you can't get through, you can hit Maggie very quickly. You can send her a post on X at Drew Mariani Show. You can leave it there on YouTube or Facebook as well. I know her eyes are on all of our social media platforms. And of course, as God begins to answer those prayers in your life, sometimes they're instant, sometimes they take a little bit of time. Don't forget to thank God. Don't forget to send me an email at the show account. It's drew@relevantradio.com. And just mark an answered prayer or praise report or miracle or whatever you want. And I'll put eyes on it. I'll share some of those on the air as well. Hey, as we begin today, let's keep praying for Father Simon. He is so grateful for your prayers. I know that. He misses being behind the mic. He's going to have a couple weeks of recovery, and he's been under the weather, and I know he values our prayers. My heart's really moved by the producer for Morning Air. Her name's Gabby, and I stopped by her office a couple days ago. And she's pregnant, about to have her child. I don't want to give too much information. I don't know what's been disclosed, but she kind of broke down in tears when she was relaying her situation. I mean, I've been praying for her every day since. So I want to pray for any pregnant mother. Maggie, that includes you here.
Oh, thanks, Drew.
And for anyone who's contemplating an abortion,
yes,
I just pray that God will touch their heart in a special way and that of their boyfriend or whoever's involved in the other end of the equation. I want to pray for my buddy and those who are facing troubles in their relationships, where there might be divorce or, you know, infidelity or any other issue. I just want to ask for God's mercy in those areas. So, Maggie, it's good to pray with you. Let me bring you right in. Anything that we need to pray for here? I know a lot of our colleagues often reach out.
There's a couple of intentions that I was made aware of earlier today. We really need to lift up prayers for Mary Claire. She's at the hospital right now being induced. So prayers for a safe and healthy labor and delivery. And Tim and Sarah need our prayers down in Tennessee. Tim's been out of work for a while, and we need to pray that he can land a great job. Sarah's been dealing with health problems due to stress from working overtime while Tim's been out of work. So prayers for their marriage and well-being.
All right, we'll lift them up. We got a couple intentions that came in I think we should probably give voice to. This says, could you pray for my niece, Katie? She developed an infection in her brain after surgery. Thank you for the prayers. We'll pray for her. That comes from a friend of the show. And Phil, thank you for writing to us. We're going to continue to pray for her and for her recovery, okay? And we'll continue to pray for the entire family. Another person said, could you pray for Isaiah Kramer, age 16, last seen February 24th in Vernon, Wisconsin? He needs medication, doesn't have it with him. So that's always frightening when somebody ends up disappearing or not coming home. They're young and they need meds. So we'll ask for a positive solution to that situation. And one more here. I tried to call, can't get through. My voice is not good. I lost it 5 years ago and I only have a whisper. So I thought I'd give her a voice. She says, I need prayers for a young man in his 20s. He feels like he isn't worth much and is depressed. His name is Josh. Thank you for his prayers. And I'll keep her name anonymous, from Arkansas. Thanks for praying with us. And let's pray for you right now. Whatever these intentions are, we'll lift them all up as we begin. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. You expired, Jesus, but the source of life gushed forth for souls, and the ocean of mercy opened up for the whole world. O font of life, unfathomable divine mercy, envelop the whole world and empty yourself out upon us. O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
And I believe in God, the Father Almighty, the Creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit and was born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he shall come to judge the living and the dead.
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen.
All right, let's jump over to Hammond, Indiana. Sylvia's praying with us there. Hi, Sylvia.
Drew, hi, Maggie. Maggie, I'm praying for you. I'm so excited for you and your new baby.
Thank you, Sylvia.
And Drew, I'm praying for your buddy who you just mentioned.
Thank you.
I'm calling. I have a dear friend, mom of four. She's in the hospital right now. She has a 7-inch tumor on her uterus and is facing a partial hysterectomy, so prayers for her. I went to the Shrine of Our Lady of Good Health back then and prayed for a spouse, for myself, and actually for a good friend, friend of mine. And I got married on our Blessed Mother's birthday, September 8th, so
wow.
Thanksgiving for that.
That's great.
And I'm praying for my husband, who has a smoking addiction, for him to stop smoking. And I'm also praying for a friend of mine, Marianne, who really needs a job. She went through a pretty bad divorce, so I'm praying for her. And I'm praying for everybody who may or may not be able to get through this line today. God bless you so much, Drew.
Thank you
for your prayers when my son, Bobby, died. 14 years ago, I always remember your prayers and your help. So God bless you all.
Sylvia,
I love you. Thank you.
You've been a longtime listener and a great prayer warrior with us for years. And let me just say congratulations on your marriage. What a beautiful answer to prayer that is. God sent you a spouse.
Yes.
Let's pray for the breaking of that addiction. And I was thinking here, who's the patron saint of addictions? I know Maximilian Kolbe is. He's one of those. Matthew Talbot with alcohol. I don't know if there's anyone else out there, but we'll pray right now, and let's pray for miracles. And God can break the chains of addiction. I say it all the time. I have seen it. Lord, I give you Sylvia. We thank you for the answered prayers. We pray for that friend in surgery. We pray for her spouse, for all the intentions that she has voiced. And I gather together now so many people, Lord, who join us every afternoon, come before the foot of the cross and beg for your mercy. And I intercede on their behalf. And I ask you today, hear their prayers. You put into motion, Lord, many miracles as we pray. Eternal Father, I offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, Chris is praying with us in Vista, California. Hi, Chris.
Hi, Drew and Maggie. I'm asking for prayer today for my sister Hilda. She's currently in the ICU and her prognosis is pretty poor. Today she made the decision to go in hospice and stop all her meds. So once that happens, she may have a matter of days before she passes. She's refusing to see a priest right now. She's a fallen away Catholic. So my main prayer today is that she'll have a change of heart and agree to last rites.
Yeah. I'm really sorry for what you're going through. I know how much you love her. And look, Chris, I trust so much in the mercy of God. And I know the one prayer that he always hears is this prayer of conversion. And, you know, the Lord gave these great promises and we recite them all the time about this chaplet. So let's stand on them for your sister right now, that whoever will recite this chaplet, right, will receive those special graces in the hour of death. He says, pray as much as you can for the dying, because your prayers will obtain for them trust in my mercy when they need it the most. And I know the Lord promised that he would reach out to a soul in that final hour, many times offering the grace that they need for salvation. So take confidence in the Lord and how much the Lord loves you. He says, at the hour of death, I will defend as my own glory every soul that will pray the chaplet, or when others say it for the dying, the pardon is going to be the same. God's anger is placated. Unfathomable mercy will envelop the soul. The Lord says his heart is moved. His tender mercies moved for the sake of the sorrowful passion. So I've got confidence in your sister's eternity. Let's pray for her now, okay? Lord, I just give you all those who are approaching death, who are going to transition from this life to eternal life. We don't really die. We live forever. But I pray that they have the grace of conversion. They may accept your mercy in those final moments. I pray for those they leave behind, the siblings, the children, the parents. And Lord, I just ask for your mercy. I thank you for the grace of conversion. I trust in it. I trust in your compassion. I trust in your mercy. And I pray for the hour of my death and all those who now pray with me as we pray. Eternal Father, I offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, before we go to Dustin, he's praying in, I believe it's Tustin, Michigan. Let me go over to Maggie. She's joining us here. You can send your intentions to Maggie. She's got her eyes on all of her social media, YouTube, Facebook, X, and let's leave those prayer intentions. We want to pray for you, and we count on it, okay? Count on your prayers for us as well. And Maggie, anything important coming in? What's on the screen?
I do have one personal intention I'd like to lift up before the online requests.
Sure.
I'd like to lift up a prayer of thanksgiving and blessing for some wonderful women in my life.
All right.
My mom, my mother-in-law, my sister-in-law, my friends who've been planning a baby shower for me that's coming up soon, and they're amazing. They've been working so hard on it. And I just pray for blessing on them. And also for Beth and Liz here at Relevant, who are also planning baby showers for people here. And it's just, they're so sweet.
A lot of blessing on Relevant when it comes to maternity, right?
Oh my goodness. We have like 5 babies here
that are growing. Let me throw my personal ones in too. I know you've been praying for your brother. I'm praying for my brother, Greg, who has been watching the chaplet recently. And
hey, Greg.
It's good that keep praying.
Yeah.
That's what I want to say to him. Keep praying, brother.
Yes.
And then for Bob and for John, I'm having dinner with 2 friends tonight. I want to pray. These guys pray the chaplet with us every day. So, guys, I'll see you in a little bit, but I'll offer my chaplet for you.
Lovely. Maritess wrote to us on X. She says, prayers for a safe surgery for me tomorrow. Also for my friend Norma, who has breast cancer, and for all of my friends there at Relevant Radio. Lowell wrote to us and said, Drew and crew, could you please pray for complete healing of my daughter's cat, Cheeto? Who fell 3 stories. Oh, he appears okay, but internal injuries are possible. I know this seems minor, but we really appreciate it. I think we should get a picture of Cheeto.
I love the name. Awesome.
Liz wrote to us and said, hey, Drew and Maggie, I'm praying for Father Simon and for Maggie's baby. We need prayers for my husband, Tom. He's still so weak due to low hemoglobin and fell down yesterday. He's recuperating very slowly from his left hip surgery still. Jesus, we trust in you. Eileen wrote to us, she said, pray for my son, who's been struggling with sadness and anxiety since his dad passed. He helped me care for him and is a godsend. I pray he meets a kind Catholic girl and trusts in God's plan for his wonderful life. God bless you at Relevant Radio and all the prayer warriors. And Max says, I'm praying for Drew's friend whose wife says wants a divorce. He said they need a trip to Champion.
I'm going to tell him that. That's such a great idea. This poor man, he was blindsided by this. Mm. You know, he didn't see it coming at all. And a couple of weeks ago, like I said, she said she wanted out. Next thing you know, divorce papers are... But who knows? I don't know all the details, what's behind the scenes. But let's pray for conversion of heart and especially healing of marriages. So many marriages are troubled. I was listening to Doug Hinderer on his show. I think it's Unhindered. Is that what it's called on the weekend? Marriage Unhindered. Sorry, Doug. Great job. He had one of my friends, a guy named Bob Atwell, on. And so many troubled marriages out there. Let's pray for marriages right now, too. We'll go to Dustin, who's praying with us in Michigan. Dustin, thanks for waiting. Good afternoon.
Hi, you doing, Drew and Maggie? I just wanted to tell you guys, if it wasn't for you guys, that I would still be a, I guess, self-proclaimed Satanist.
Welcome home.
I love it.
Yeah.
I pray for you all you the guys, time then, Dustin.
Maggie's always praying.
Thank you. I am. I just wanted to pray for the the complete healing of my wife, the conversion of my mom, and my dad to come back to the faith.
Well, Dustin, do me a favor. If you get a chance, write your story down. Tell us about your conversion. Okay.
Please.
We'll get you on the air. Maybe have you share that story. It sounds like a great, great story. I love it.
It was a profound, and it happened during the Chapel of Divine Mercy, to be 100% honest with you.
Wow.
So email me, drew@relevantradio.com, drew@relevantradio.com. Mark it, you know, Satanist conversion or something that will certainly stand out to me, and we'll do it.
I pray for you and your friend, and I pray for Maggie, and I wish the best to all of you there at Relevant Radio, and keep doing the amazing work that you guys do.
God bless you, brother. Well, your spiritual family here will be praying for all of your intentions, for the conversion of your mother and father and children, and complete healing for you. And Maggie, I know you pray for Lucian Greaves,
head of
the Church of Satan.
Yeah, so let's throw him in.
We'll continue to pray. Dustin, thank you for your call. So good to hear from you. And that's the fruit of this prayer, right? Conversion. Hard hearts can change. Tumors can disappear. God can do anything. He loves us. We are his children. Let's turn to him now with our personal intentions. And Lord, I give you Dustin in a special way. Give him special graces and hear his prayers. Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Great. All right, Kyle's in Albuquerque, New Mexico. Hey, Kyle, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. I help teach confirmation at Prince of Peace over here in Albuquerque. And first, I want to lift up my brother Rich, who actually advocated for you guys and turned me on to Relevant Radio.
Go, Rich. I like it.
And today, I just found out that we lost one of our confirmation students. She was in a bad car accident on Friday. And
how sad.
So I want to pray for the repose of her soul and for the rest of our confirmation students and all the confirmandi everywhere, that, you know, they don't let anything deter them and they keep their faith strong and continuing growing closer and closer to Christ.
Great prayer. Hey, Kyle, we'll pray for you too. Thank you for what you're doing to help, you know, so many in their spiritual journey. I just ask God gives you special eloquence and leadership and all the gifts you need to really impart the faith. And Lord, I pray for Kyle. I pray for the soul of those who you call home, sometimes by tragedy and unexpectedly. We don't know the day or the hour. And I pray for that family and those who mourn. But I give you all of Kyle's intentions. And again, we just unite in one spirit as we turn to you, Heavenly Father, and we pray, Eternal Father. We offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
And I'll try to sneak a couple extra calls in. I know sometimes we don't have the chance to do that, but if you're on hold, Stand by. I'll try to get you. Diane is in Baraboo, Wisconsin. Hi, Diane.
Hi. This is a answered prayer.
Yeah.
I'm just driving home from a hike that I'm taking, and as I was hiking, I saw this rock outcropping, and I decided to climb up it. So I got up, lovely view, but the problem was I didn't know how to get down, and it was very steep. So I knew exactly what to do. I would pray to the Divine Mercy Chaplet 3 times and did 2 Mysteries of the Rosary.
Wow.
And when I just finished, somebody was walking by, and I shouted down, and he knew how to get up, and he got me down. And it's a little thing, but, you know, it was what I needed to do. I could have been calling you up saying, I'm stuck up there. I need help to get down.
You can always do that. This number's good all day long,
okay? We'll do that, too.
So you call us if you ever get stuck, Diane. We'll come get you.
And you know what? I have a quick request now that you mentioned, you know, Maggie with a baby. My daughter is newly pregnant. She's having an awful time with morning sickness.
Aww.
And then my other daughter just announced yesterday she's moving in with her boyfriend. So that's what got me upset to climb the mountain anyway.
Oh. So. Well, you know what, Diane, I love about your story, too? And we'll certainly pray for your daughter, especially the one who's so many people's children right now are cohabitating. You're not alone in that. And we're going to certainly pray for the grace of conversion. But I really think God sent you an angel. As you were telling that story, you prayed multiple chaplets, several decades of the rosary, and all of a sudden, in time when you most need it, a mysterious messenger arrives, a mysterious person that enables you to come down. Could it be coincidence? Sure. I quite often think of God incidents. You pray, God sends you the help you need. So I love your story. Let's now pray for your children. Let's pray for all of your intentions. But Lord, I give you thanks for the way that you send us help in times of need and for your blessing. Rachel in Florida, good afternoon. Thank you for joining us.
Hey, Drew. Hey. I have a praise report. I called, and we prayed for my marriage, and it's doing much better.
Right.
Matter of fact, we have a session today with our marriage counselor.
Great.
And I just ask for continued blessing on my husband and my marriage and for his job and stress. But I'm really calling because as I was pulling back into work today, a 17 or 18-year-old jumped off the 7th floor of our parking garage. And she's in critical condition. So I'm asking for prayers and for the repose of her soul. If that's what happens.
Yeah. Hey, Rachel, thank you. I'm glad you got through. First of all, congratulations on your answered prayer. We'll pray for your marriage, especially that when you go to that meeting tonight, that the Holy Spirit will fill that room. But Lord, I do pray for those who have suicidal ideation, those who are suffering with anxiety and depression, those who want to hurt themselves, maybe have the inclination to hurt others. And I just ask that you protect, you convert, Lord, you heal. We give you this girl who jumped off this garage, that you embrace her with your healing touch, Lord. Heal her, not just physically, but emotionally, psychologically as well. And I pray for her family, what pain they must be going through right now. So I ask for your mercy, Father. Salem, Wisconsin is next. Marie, good afternoon.
Hi, thank you. Drew and Maggie, I'm calling with a praise report.
Wow,
I can't remember how many months.
I love it.
I don't remember how many months ago it was that I called in that we pray for a woman I knew that had been arrested and was in jail in a local jail. And I found out she was released about 3 weeks ago and has been staying with her parents. And she didn't get any further incarceration because I guess she went through some rehab programs and such. And I then would like for us to pray for all who are still incarcerated and need that kind of rehabilitation.
Amen. It's such a good prayer. Hey, Marie, thank you. And you know, we had 3-4 answered prayers today. Write to me, drew@relevantradio.com. Send me those answered prayers. Mark an answered prayer. Share your story with me. I love them. Whether you're rescued from a rocky ravine or whether you, you're a reformed Satanist like Dustin. You know, I mean, I love those stories. This is a powerful time of prayer. I'm telling you, God hears our prayers, whether you get on the air or not. The Lord hears the prayers of this chaplet. His heart is moved. His mercy is just abundant. Lord, I want to give you everyone right now who is praying with us, especially the incarcerated. You know, I often think about them. They're often forgotten, and people sometimes don't have compassion for them, but we pray for conversion. And I give you my heart. I unite it to all who are now praying with me. And Heavenly Father, I know you hear these prayers, and I ask for many more answered prayers as I pray. Eternal Father, I offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ,
in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, holy mighty one, holy immortal one,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, holy mighty one, holy immortal one,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, holy mighty one, holy immortal.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal God, in whom mercy is endless and the treasury of compassion inexhaustible, look kindly upon us and increase your mercy in us so that in difficult moments we may not despair nor become despondent, but with great confidence submit ourselves to your holy will, which is love and mercy itself. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Our Lady, Queen of Heaven,
pray for us.
Our Lady of Champion,
pray for us.
Mother of Mercy,
pray for us.
Our Lady of Guadalupe,
pray for us.
Our Lady of Reconciler of Peoples and Nations,
pray for us.
Virgin Most Sorrowful,
pray for us.
Virgin Most Powerful,
pray for us.
St. Joseph,
pray for us.
St. Faustina,
pray for us.
St. John Paul II,
pray for us.
St. Peregrine,
pray for us.
St. Jose Maria Escriva,
pray for us.
St. Patrick,
pray for us.
St. Fidelis,
pray for us.
St. Matthew Talbot, is he saint or is he blessed? So I'm not sure where Matthew Talbot is. St. Maximilian Kolbe,
pray for us.
Blessed Michael Sopotchko,
pray for us.
All you angels and saints,
pray for us.
I took a pause. I was trying to remember when Faustina had her experience in purgatory. I think Our Lady came as the Star of the Sea. That was the title that she came under and gave reprieve to all these purgatorial souls. So I want to pray for them as well. You angels and saints, pray for us. Hey, I hope you'll stay with me. When you come back, I want your feedback on this too. Monsignor Pope's going to be stopping by. How do you feel? And I'm not here to throw stones at the church by any means. Monsignor Pope wrote a great piece about the ancient biblical sermons that were given in the early church. And some of these were fiery, right? I mean, they were hard hitting. They dealt with the issues of the day. Today, some of the homilies can be kind of tepid, I guess. And he raises the question, should we return to the way the early church preached, called sin, sin? We'll look at that and much more right after this.
Tweet us your prayer intention anytime on Twitter at Drew Mariani Show.
Hey, today we'd like to thank Rosario, who's listening in New Mexico, for donating her 2014 Fiat 500. You can join thousands of other listeners in donating old vehicles, trucks, boats, and RVs by visiting relevantradio.com/car. That's relevantradio.com/car.
The hope lives here.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Let's talk about, I guess, your experience at Mass, right? Your homilies. I remember when I was a kid, I went to Catholic school, of course, and we had a little parish. I remember we had a new pastor, not a new pastor, a new priest come in. The pastor we had there had been there for years, and this guy lit it up. He was young, dynamic, and man, could he preach, right? He was so good that people would end up calling the rectory to see who, you know, what Mass he was going to say. Is Father saying the 11:30 or is he at the 9 today, right? Well, it got to the point where they stopped telling the congregants what Mass he was going to say because people start just going to those Masses. That's the power of preaching, right? Some homilies, boy, they can be a snooze, can't they? I think the Pope says they shouldn't be longer than 8 or 10 minutes, something to that effect. I saw a piece by Monsignor Charles Pope, and I do want to talk about it, and I want your take on it, too. You can dial in 888-914-9149. I'd love to get your take on it. He wrote a piece, we'll link over to it, of course, called The Ancient Biblical Sermons Break All the Modern Rules. Maybe the rules should be reexamined. That was the headline. So grab my attention. And it made me think, You know, the readings that we've been getting recently between Easter and Pentecost, you know, what are you hearing? You're hearing the Acts of the Apostles, and one of the characteristics of that book is you read a lot of the sermons that St. Peter and St. Paul preached as they spread the good news of Jesus Christ. They went out, they spread it at first to the Jews, then to the Gentiles. But if you ever read those sermons closely today, you're going to notice that, I don't know, they're clearly different from most homilies that you hear today in church. You know, when seminarians are taught homiletics and they're taught how to speak and preach, they're often told, you know, start your homilies like a light joke or a funny story before you get to the meat, you know. And, you know, you read what the apostles are doing, you notice they didn't really do that. And I'm not here to bash homiletics. You know, as a broadcaster, my colleagues and I mean, there have been many broadcast consultants that have come in that have, you know, given pointers, and they help you craft, you know, what you do. And you'd be surprised at what you can learn, right? And I think what Monsignor Charles Pope is saying, I think, is important, not just for fellow priests, but really also for congregants, you know, for those who are going to be on the receiving end of this. You know, if you, and I'm sure Monsignor will share some of this stuff, but I think about St. Peter, right? You know, standing boldly in front of people who denied Jesus Christ, accusing them of choosing a murderer over the Messiah. He didn't tiptoe around his feelings. Instead, he charged them with ignorance. He called for repentance. And it worked. 3,000 people were converted that day. We just heard not too long ago, the St. Stephen, right? He called those stiff-necked people, he says. You're stiff-necked with uncircumcised hearts and ears. You always resist the Holy Spirit, he says, as your fathers did, which the prophets did. Your fathers, you know, which of the prophets did your fathers fail to persecute? What happened? He ended up being stoned to death, right? And don't forget Jesus Christ himself, who is the ultimate model. He told the Jewish people in the temple, you belong to your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desires? He was a murderer from the beginning, refusing to uphold the truth. It's John 8, right? That's direct. That's blunt. That's effective. And here's the takeaway. We'll get Monsignor Pope's take on it. Those sermons, as confrontational as they are, what happened? They bore fruit. It wasn't this cotton candy, rainbows, and lollipops. It was the truth. So I'm not a priest, nor am I a deacon. But I do think what Monsignor Pope is saying is well worth it. Are we tiptoeing around these fundamental truths? Look at the errant teaching that we have today in the culture. Look at the ideologies that people are embracing. I think we got to call sin for what it is and not tiptoe around it. And I bet if you did that, churches would be overflowing and conversion would abound. Let's talk about it right now, though. You can sound off to 888-914-9149. I'm joined by Monsignor Charles Pope. Great to have him back with us again. And Monsignor, thank you for your time. Thank you for your writing. You know how much I appreciate it. I tell you that a lot.
No, it's good to be here. Thank you for reading too.
It's awesome stuff. And by the way, people want to get plugged into your commentaries. Is it MonsignorPope.com the best way to go?
MSGRPOPE.com. Yeah, that'll bring you to my main website. Sure.
And you also have a blog there. Is it ADW something?
Yes, blog.adw.org, and you can mislink to the other through the other site. So, yeah.
Cool. Well, we'll do that. Let's talk about this. What inspired this?
Well, I think mainly what inspired it is I remember for years and years in seminary being taught to, you know, don't be controversial, you know, say, you know, be kind, you know, all the kinds of, you know, right. Be careful. And I think that, you know, at the time I had come through that kind of a system where, you know, most of the sermons I ever heard growing up were just filled with abstractions and generalities. Boring, boring, boring.
Yes.
And I'll give you a quick summary of every sermon I heard growing up. And I grew up, I was born in 61, but I mainly became more aware of things through the 70s when I was a teenager. And every sermon kind of went like this. Jesus is challenging us to do better today. Let us try to do better. Now, please stand for the creed. You know, no real summons to call out the moral issues and summon us to repentance. It was just more of a, informative, chatty moment, and hope you feel better. Try to do better. If there was any call to repentance, it was very suggestive, like try to do better, you know. But anyway, do good, avoid evil, you know, and that they're very vague. And so you'll notice again, and you already sampled them quite well there. There's a series of 8 sermons in the Acts of the Apostles that have gotten the title or the term kerygma, which means there's basically 8 sermons of the Acts of the Apostles preached by Peter and Paul and also Stephen as a sermon there. And they are hard hitting. They are in your face. They're summons to repentance. You know, you've already read them, but you know, again, you know, you acted out of ignorance, but you murdered the God who was sent to save you, you know, and you know, these kinds of things. And it says that they're struck to the heart by these sermons. And in fact, when Peter preached his first sermon, he got 3,000 converts that day, right. And it had all this harsh content. Whereas there's an old bromide among clergy that goes, you know, Peter preached one sermon, got 3,000 converts. I preached 3,000 sermons and haven't gotten one convert. You know? So, but that's just a way of saying, I think the idea today is sort of this: be nice, be non-controversial, be cheerful, tell jokes, console people, make them feel, you know, better. It's kind of religion as a therapeutic is kind of the guiding principle. And it doesn't, our churches just get emptier and emptier. And I'm not saying that's the only reason, but I'm going to say that when, you know, if you don't know the bad news, the good news is no news. And so we clergy have to, I think, get back into the business, starting with ourselves, of preaching that we've got some decisions to make, choices to make, and it matters. And it's a great drama unfolding in our life.
We'll take some phone calls for you. If you want to join us, 888-914-9149. Walt is in Malvern, Pennsylvania. Hey, Walt, good afternoon.
Hey, good afternoon. There seems to be an 11th commandment, thou shalt not offend. It does get suspended a lot in my area.
Oh, really?
Mm. Yep. There was a fiery preacher near us, and all of a sudden he packed.
Wow, interesting.
So there are people that are offended, and they don't like him being offended.
So, yeah, let's talk about that. That's a good point. Hey, Walt, thank you very much for your call. You know, are priests concerned about, you know, I mean, certain things they preach? Or do they feel unbridled and unhindered to do that? And following up on that, is it really the importance of the homily? Is it really about the content as much as the delivery? You know, give me your thoughts.
Yeah, a little bit of that. But I would say that I think the problem begins not usually that they're getting a lot of letters. That does happen. And certain bishops hear about it, and they're tough on priests that, you know, engage controversial matters, even if they're really, really upholding the doctrine of the church. All that said, it starts out much more humanly than that. The main source of it is that priests are human beings, and nobody likes tension. And you know, if you get up in the pulpit and talk about certain things, there's going to be tension in the air. And it's, but as I say, we have to be willing to endure that for the faithful. You see, I think that's the key. Yes, eventually we don't want to preach controversial things because we might get a letter from the bishop. But at the end of the day, the real reason, the daily reason that we don't, is that we just don't want to upset people. Nobody likes to do that. That's not the goal. But if you preach the truth that, you know, about all the moral issues of our day, you know, so many of them are focused on sexuality and marriage and life issues. And if you get up there and you give the church's teaching, you could even read right out of the catechism. You're going to get some people fired up and angry. And but at some level, they endured that all right in the early church and were willing to suffer for the. We have to be willing to suffer for the truth, especially priests. And if not, it's very easily suppressed.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
And Christianity gets reduced to just being nice.
No, I agree. I think platitudes, niceness, you know, just not wanting to offend because you want your contributions to be there. You don't want to drive people away. I think if you stand up and you speak the truth, it pricks the conscience, it converts the heart, and it will draw people there. There's something about the truth that resonates within the human soul. And people are going to be attracted to it. You know, they're going to be attracted to it. So, but let me do this. I have to take a short pause. When we come back, we got a ton of phone calls. So if you're on hold, we'll go right to your phones. We're talking today about the modern sermon model, if you will. Monsignor Charles Pope wrote a great piece. We're going to link over to it for you as well. And take a look at what the early church did to bring about thousands of converts What can the church do today? And again, I'm not here to throw stones to the church. We're here to explore this. You share your own experience too. I don't know, you know, maybe you've got a great preacher. Yeah, maybe you're a priest or a deacon. Feel free to join us too. 888-914-9149. We're back with more right after this.
Getting you connected. This is the Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Hey, if you have real estate or land that you no longer need, well, consider the advantages of donating it to Relevant Radio. The process is easy, and the tax advantages can be huge. Learn more at relevantradio.com/property.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Yeah, hey, thanks for joining me. If you are just getting plugged in, Monsignor Charles Pope has joined me. He wrote a book called He wrote a blog post. It was called "The Ancient Biblical Sermons Break All the Modern Rules. Maybe the rules should be re-examined." Grab my attention as a communicator. Maybe you feel the same way. I'm in church sometimes. I'm like, oh my gosh, please get to the point. I want to walk away from church remembering that homily, being inspired or at least motivated or at least convicted, right? The early church did that. The sermons, they were confrontational times, but they bore fruit. They spoke truth. Today we see very sensitive approaches, and what happens? I don't think they're achieving perhaps what they could. We live in a time where sensitivity is paramount, where people maybe have become too sensitive. The gospel has transformative power. And I think when we fail to really communicate the message of it, that power is muted. And this is such an area that I think we need to really focus on within the church. The early church was not afraid to confront, to challenge, to shake up the status quo. And maybe Monsignor Pope, as he points out, maybe we need to return to that kind of preaching that doesn't just comfort, but also convicts. Monsignor, it's great to have you here with us. Let's go right to the phones. We'll grab a call or two for you. Start with Patty in Vista, California. Hi, Patty.
Hi. I just wanted to make a comment as far as I'm not hearing on the pulpit when we do prayers. I'm not hearing, let's pray for the, you know, against abortion, or pray about our prisoners' jail. And I don't know, I kind of feel like they don't want to upset any prisoners that are pro-abortion. And also, you know, several years ago, we prayed for Kamala Harris when she was picked by Biden to be the vice president.
Right.
And we knew back then that they were pro-abortion.
We should be praying for a conversion, clearly, Patty. But Monsignor, maybe you can clarify this, because some say, hey, the homily's not the place to talk about the life issue or, you know, the moral vote or some of these other cultural issues. It's really to unpack the particular gospel that was read that day or the scriptures. Is that true? Can you do both? And to Patty's point, I mean, that's a great place to do it. Do you do it before, after, during? Break it down for us.
Yeah, I also hear her saying, though, it isn't just the sermon. It's often other postures of prayer and what we choose to highlight and talk about in the prayers of the faithful, other things like that. So I think, you know, it's a whole stance of caution and stuff that is taken today where we seem to be so afraid to offend. Yeah. Now, that said, I think, yes, the homily is a place to directly address issues. I don't find any division between doing that and preaching from the gospel of the day, because we have a very good sampling of Jesus' words, and they if you're really serious about listening to Jesus, he's hard-hitting. He says, now look, if anyone comes after me and doesn't want to take up a cross and follow me, you can't be my disciple.
Yep.
And so that's where you can unpack some of this and say, I know, it's easy to sin. It's hard not to sin. It's a cross. It's harder. It's easy to go along with popular opinions about abortion or homosexuality, whatever. It's hard to resist the Christ. These are the times you can include some of these very hard-hitting issues. And Jesus is not this harmless hippie that people want to turn him into. He had a lot of tough things to say. And if we really preach his word, it will come forth.
I agree. Reuben's in Jacksonville, Florida. Reuben, good afternoon.
Hey, good afternoon, Drew. Hello, Father. So I'm a long-time caller, first-time listener. No, but all jokes aside here. Okay. I'm basically a daily communicant. You know, I go to Mass all the time, not because I'm particularly holy, but because I need the Mass to sustain me. And one of my, I don't know if you want to call it a gripe or an observation, is that in the homily, oftentimes, I'd say far too often, the priest will start with a joke. And worse of all, sometimes it doesn't land. Mm. So I just wanted to bring that up.
Yeah, thanks.
Yeah, there's nothing worse than a joke that doesn't land. Yeah. Lord have mercy. But I think, a lot of times some priests have been instructed to try to, quote, break the ice and all this kind of stuff. And I think, you know, it's not 100% wrong, but it's also overused.
I know one priest. I heard him say, you know, when he was in seminary, he was so bad at preaching and giving the homily. He was so nervous, so filled with anxiety. Yeah, I guess the instructor said, hey, this may not be, you know, the vocation for you. And, he thought about maybe even leaving the priesthood because he was so crippled by having to get up and to preach and to speak. And some old priest said to him, why don't you start with a joke? And this was a tool that this particular priest used, and it helped him to break that ice. So he came up, he was able to give the joke, and then he would be able to go into his homily. So it was kind of a tool for him, which was great. He shared that at a Mass I had attended at one point in time. And now every day he starts with a joke. And I don't mind it, but to your point, you know, sometimes they don't land. Sometimes they're not very good, you know. But
Gene was a very big joke teller. But he was good at it.
Yeah, and I don't mind him. I think they're kind of fun, you know. But
right.
But you know, really, what it comes down to is the meat of that homily. You start off, but you know, rock our world with what you're going to preach,
yeah.
Or let the Holy Spirit do that at least. John in Portland, Oregon. Good afternoon.
Yeah, good afternoon. How you doing?
Great. Thanks for calling. Mm-hmm. Go right ahead.
I got a question about homilies. That I'm on the freeway, so excuse me a little bit.
Yeah, sure.
I always told that public speaking, you should never ask your group any questions. We have a group of priests. He'll actually ask the congregation or the altar boy standing next to him a question. And sometimes they answer and it makes them feel really bad. You can see it in the poor kid's face, like, I don't know the answer. Mm-hmm. Is that right or wrong or what?
Yeah, I think really we should avoid 100% rules in these matters. Yeah. However, it's pretty, and that's one of the biggest hang-ups about when bishops come to give confirmation. They always had this silly thing at the beginning where they ask questions of the confirmandi. I'm like, oh, come on, just preach the gospel, you know. But I do think that I wouldn't say it's 100% wrong. Sometimes I've often started out my homily as a title with a question, who is Jesus Christ?
Yeah.
And, things like that. But it's more rhetorical, though, than an actual question. Yeah.
So, you know, Pope Francis, a couple of years ago, probably, I can't remember the exact year that happened, had talked about homilies and mentioned that they should be, what, 8 minutes, 10 minutes? It was a suggestion. That's not, you know, any dogma or doctrine from the church. But your thoughts on the length of a particular homily?
It's very culturally conditioned. If you gave an 8 to 10 minute homily in Africa, they think you were ill.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that the Pope needs to sort of accept that there's going to be different settings. And again, it depends a little on the gifts of the preacher. Don't take 25 minutes to say what you could say in 5 minutes. Yeah. But there are some people who command a good ability to unpack a topic. So I just think leave us alone and let us work that out. And I don't think he was making a rule, as you say, but I think his opinion is just that. It's an opinion.
Let's go to Westfield, Indiana next. Luke, good afternoon.
Hey, good afternoon, Drew. Father, this is Luke Hinton. Thanks for having me real quick.
You're welcome. Go right ahead. We only have about 2 minutes, Luke, so I'll give you the floor.
I'll make it real quick. God saved me through a Baptist ministry. My family converted a couple years ago to the Catholic Church.
Wow.
And I used to be in Baptist ministry. All I can say is we need to definitely preach the word, you know, exegete the text and bring Christ to the people, because the gospel is the power of God for salvation.
And Luke, I got to say, you know, our Protestant brothers and sisters, they can preach. I mean, they really can. And I wish our Catholic priest, Father Monsignor, would maybe take a chapter out of that. And I don't know what it is. Is it better homiletics? What is it? How do we fix the problem?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is better homiletics. But like our good brother here is saying, we should take some time and listen to some of the Protestant preachers. Now, again, we won't always agree with the content, but
right.
at the end of the day, I've listened to probably every sermon ever preached by Adrian Rogers, the pastor of Bellevue Baptist in Memphis, Tennessee. And I listened to Johnny Hunter, I should say. I've listened to just any number of, and of course also Fulton Sheen on the Catholic side.
Yeah.
Listen to sermons, you know, Brother Priest. You know, go out on your jog or walk and listen to a sermon. You'd be surprised what you learn.
Yeah, no kidding. The article that Monsignor wrote, if you want to read it, and it's just well worth reading and thinking about. It's called "The Ancient Biblical Sermons Break All the Modern Rules." Maybe the rules should be reexamined. It's by Monsignor Charles Pope. You can go to MonsignorPope.com. It is .com, right, Monsignor? And read it there. We're going to link over to it, too. Maggie will put it up on our X account, our social media. So check it out. I have to take a very short pause, and your news and headlines are straight ahead. I'll be back on the other side. Hope you can stay with me. Don't go anywhere.